In the Gospel of Mark, in the 8th chapter, and I'm reading from the pulpit Bible here today, and it is a King James Version, and I'm going to be reading verses 22 through 26. Has anybody had a good week this week? I consider every day above ground a good day. It doesn't matter what you drive, where you live, how much money you have or wish that you would have, if you don't get up. Everything else is irrelevant. We just thank God to be above ground another day. Now, brothers and of course, sisters, here is a word from the Lord on this occasion. And it says this, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught." He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up. Somebody said he looked up. And he said, "I see men as trees walking." After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. Somebody said he made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into town nor tell it to any in the town." Father, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you for this men's emphasis on this Sunday here in this church. We're grateful, our Christ, for not just the men who are here, but for the women and the families and the children, for your people. We ask you now that you would send not just a word, but send an anointed word, that we might hear you. And then when we alight from this sanctuary, we'll have better clarity of how to live in this world. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what I'm talking about today. Very briefly, I will be cognizant of the time, and I promise to finish sometime today. I want to talk about men who see good enough. And if men is too narrow, I want to talk about folks who see good enough. Church people who see good enough. For this 24th verse says that he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." From where I stand this morning, that verse, along with the companion verses that we shared in our reading, strongly suggests that God is looking for men who see good enough, who see well enough to be used by the Lord. Amen. Now, of course, this story is one of several seeing again stories that are in the Gospels. Simply what I mean by that is that there are a number of stories in the Gospels where folks who could not see have their sight restored or renewed. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be able to see clearly. Here, Mark, who relies on the eyewitness account of Peter, which is to say that Mark himself did not witness this account, but he relies on the eyewitness account of a disciple who was present when Jesus met this man who was blind. Brothers, do you realize that being an eyewitness to what the Lord does is a good thing? Here we have an account of somebody who said, "I saw the Lord do such and such with this man." Guido Calabresi, who writes in the field of jurisprudence, reminds us that whenever there is an eyewitness account that is accurate, people get right to it. They don't try to add anything. They tell exactly what they have seen. Any good church ought to have somebody who's able to say exactly what they have seen. Don't beat around the bush, just tell it. Tell what you have seen and what you have experienced. Get right to it. Don't fix it up. Share it the way it came to you from the Lord. Then maybe, Greg, this is why this particular renewing of sight, this particular restoring of sight story is in the Gospel of Mark, because Mark, in comparison to the other gospel writers, is always exercising brevity. That is to say that Mark writes the story of the gospel without undue prolixity. And if undue prolixity is a phrase that's too heavy this early in the morning, it means that he just told it like he heard it. So Mark says that as Jesus was entering Bethsaida, and Bethsaida has an interesting name as it equates to Jesus entering Bethsaida, because it is a name that literally means the place of the fishermen. Well, here is the great fisherman entering the place where there are fishermen who are known, and whenever Jesus enters a place, he is about to do some fishing. But before the Lord could do anything, Mark says they brought to him a man who was blind, and they begged him to touch him. Now, before I move around anymore in this text today, let me first of all share with you, and particularly the men whose emphasis it is on this Sunday, some things that are in the neighborhood. Because as I look down at this text, I see in the neighborhood this particular emphasis that I need to share with the brothers who are behind me and with the brothers who are in the audience. And that is that there is an uncanny power when you do things for the Lord anonymously. If I had to put it in church language, it's like this: God gives more a power when you don't try to get the credit. Now, I know this doesn't sit well on a men's emphasis Sunday, because there's some brothers who did not participate because they were not going to get their name called or receive any recognition. But there is an uncanny, unmistakable power attended to service that is rendered anonymously. It's in the neighborhood. All we have to do is just remember what Mark said. It says, they brought to him. The folks who brought this blind man to Jesus are not named. They become a part of a collegium of folks in the gospel who are just trying to render service but do not want their name mentioned at all. You recall that one day there were four unnamed friends who brought their sick friend to Jesus. And when they could not enter the house where Jesus was teaching, they decided to get innovative and creative, and they took their friend and climbed up on the roof of the house. They dug up the roof, and without any permission, I might say, from the owner of the dwelling, they dug up the roof of the house and lowered their friend down in the midst where Jesus was teaching. And Jesus, hearing the rumbling and the noise above him, he looked up, and as tilling and thatch fell down in his hair and he moved it out of his eyes, he was able to see the faith of those who were lowering their sick friend down to where Jesus was. And Jesus then looked at the man whom the gospel said was sick of the palsy, and he said to him, your sins are forgiven you. Now, brothers and sisters, there were those in the crowd who didn't like Jesus doing that, and they wondered who this was that was able to forgive sins. But then Jesus said, so that you know that the Son of Man has power on the earth, he told the man, pick up your bed and walk. And the man lifted up his pallet, lifted up his bed, and walked right out of that Christian education assembly in that house. All I'm trying to say, if you want to see the Lord work, you need to allow your ego to disappear and allow the power of God to appear. There was another instance of where being anonymous is very powerful. One day, Jesus was conducting an open-air meeting, and there were thousands of folk who had attended this open-air meeting. And when the day had waned, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, where can we find bread that all of these might eat? And you know, the Lord, he's never just interested in our spiritual well-being. He is a God that is holistic. He cares about the total well-being of an individual. And so he says to his disciples, where can we find it? You know, I don't know, Greg, one of these disciples might have been a Baptist, because he said, well, Lord, I'm looking out here and I see all these folks out here. And even if we had a couple of days' wages, we still would not have enough to feed all of them. And then there was another disciple who was there and said, now, Lord, you didn't ask me. You asked this other disciple, but let me tell you, there is a lad here. I don't know his name. He's an unnamed lad, but he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. That might be enough for you and me, Lord, but I don't know if it will feed everybody. All God ever needs is just an opportunity to show you what kind of God he is. And you all know what he did. He borrowed that last lunch and he held it up before God and asked God to bless it. And then he just kept giving it out. Anybody know that when God is doing the blessing, he just keeps giving it out? There was so much that day, y'all, that at the end of the meal, the disciples collected 12 baskets of fragments. I don't know if anybody is listening, but if you want God to move in a great way in your life, then you need to decrease and allow God to increase. There was another occasion when Jesus was at a wedding feast where his mother and others had been invited. And at the end of the wedding feast, it was learned that there was no more wine. And so his mother came to the Lord who was there and said, they have no more wine. And Jesus said, well, you know, this is not really my hour to be dealing with this, but all right, mama, because you know even Jesus listens to his mama. And then there were some unnamed fellas who received instructions from the Lord's mother saying, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And they found 6 water pots there and they filled them to the brim. And somewhere between Jesus' mother giving them instructions and Jesus overhearing the instructions, because after all, there's nothing in the text in 2 John that says to us exactly how he knew about the transaction between the mother and the unnamed fellas who filled up the water pots. But that ought to tell us something, that whenever the Lord is interested in the welfare of anything, God can hear it even when you don't say it. Somewhere the water changed its molecular structure. And it was no longer water, but now it was wine. And the governor of the feast, when he tasted it, he said to those who had invited him to that wedding feast, I can't believe this. You all have issued in a new social order. Usually folks give the best right at the start, but you have held the best until the last. I have never tasted Mad Dog Double 20 like this in my... No, he didn't say that. No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. But you all get my point. And that is, whenever you and I... Listen to me, brothers. It's your day today. Don't always try to run to the front. Don't always look for your name to be called. Learn to render service in the name of the Lord. Learn how to just do it and walk away from it. Learn that God is attended when your humility is on display. Learn how to be humble. Learn how to be abased and watch God exalt you. Oh, what kind of church would Mount Olive be right now if there were just a few more folks to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you need, I'm willing to do. I don't have to get credit. I only believe that whatever you do for Christ will last. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to sing. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to help somebody. I don't have to have my name called, because all I'm interested in is exalting the name of the Lord. Is there anybody here that knows what I'm talking about this morning who have come to exalt the name of the Lord? So that's the first thing in the neighborhood. And I'm almost finished. I got 6 minutes. I'm almost finished. There's an uncanny power attendant When you perform your service, when you render your service anonymously. But there's something else here in the neighborhood, and let me share it as quickly as I can, and that is, men, never impose upon the divine prerogative to heal. It's right in the text. It said, they brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. In other words, they had already decided how Jesus should heal. They said, Lord, touch him. Who are we to tell God how to heal? Who are we to impose upon the divine prerogative? God is sovereign. God can do whatever God wants to do. And God doesn't need our help in telling God how he ought to do it. In fact, if you just look and feel yourself right now, you didn't ask God how to wake you up this morning, but I know you're sure glad that he did. You know, Barbara, I don't understand why people believe in our generation that they can tell God and order God around like they do other folks. God heals whatever way God desires. Sometimes God will just speak the word. You remember that centurion had that sick servant, and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He said, but if you just speak the word, I believe that my servant shall be made whole. And the Lord spoke the word. He said, all right, so be it. He never had found a faith like that centurion's faith. He said, all right, so be it. And when the servants came from the centurion's house, he asked them, said, what hour was he healed? And they told him what hour it was. And he remembered that's when the Lord spoke the word. Sometimes God can heal you just by speaking the word. But other times, God will heal you because you've got faith. Don't you remember that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 long years? And how she was in that crowd and she had spent all of her money. And she had, you know, she didn't have affordable health care back then. She didn't have Obamacare. And the physicians took advantage of her and she didn't have anything left, but she said within herself, and I can just grab a handful of his clothes. And she came up behind him and grabbed a handful of the Lord's clothes. And Jesus said, somebody touch me. And again, Greg, I got to say it. You know, because a lot of times in the scripture, I see Baptistic gleanings in the scripture. And the disciples acted like Baptists because here Jesus says, somebody touch me. And the disciples said, Lord, what do you mean? Look at all these. He said, oh, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying somebody faithful has touched me because virtue has gone out of my being. And she came and said, it was I who touched the Lord. And the record says she told him all. Because she teaches us that when you have faith, God can heal you. But then sometimes God requires you to be obedient. Uh-oh. Sometimes God will heal you when you follow what he says. You remember there was another blind man who asked the Lord to give him his sight. And Jesus said, all right, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Yeah. And I've always wondered, down in my years of ministry, I wonder how that blind man found that pool. But there must be something when you are obedient to God about how the Lord will order your steps, how God will direct your path. The record says he went to the pool, washed, and came back seeing. Is anybody listening today? You see, God can heal you when you got faith. God can heal you when you're obedient. God can heal you if he just speaks the word. But if I can just draw on our own ancestors, any way the Lord fixes it, speaking for myself, I will be satisfied. If he wants to touch me, that's all right. If he wants to speak the word, that's all right. If he wants to tell me to do something, that's all right. Because I'm just glad that he's a God that heals. Is there anybody here today that's glad that the Lord is a healer, that God can and will heal? All right. I've been with it too long now. I'm sorry. Men, brothers, let's not take men's day and let it enlarge our egos to where we depart and begin to impose upon the divine prerogative. God is sovereign. So they brought Jesus, this man. Greg, I'm almost finished now. And Jesus, he doesn't deal with the fact that they have been anonymous. He does not even question their audacity to impose upon his divine prerogative. Instead, what he does is he takes the man by the hand and he leads him out of the town. Now we know this could not have happened in 2013. I mean, here's some folks, they brought Jesus, this man, they want to see Jesus use his powers to heal, to restore the man's sight, to give the man sight. And Jesus doesn't say a word, but he just gets the man by the hand and leads him out of the town. They brought this man to be healed, and Jesus leads the man away from them. Now, you know, today, this could have never happened. No. These folks would have blown up the social media. They would have been tweeting all over the place. Emails would have gone out. They would say, how dare Jesus take this man that we wanted him to heal and get him out of our sight? We want to see something. Because we're a generation that's got to see it before we can respond to it. They want to be in the man's business. But sometimes the Lord wants to do something for you and to you that he doesn't want anybody else to see. Oh, y'all know. Sometimes the Lord knows that if he blesses you out in the open, that there might be some haters in the house. And what God has decided, that there are some blessings that you are to receive, and the only way you will receive them is in the secrecy of his own power. Gets him out of the town some distance. And then the Lord does something, you know, you have to read it twice to really believe it. It says he spit in his eyes. We know this wasn't a brother from Hackensack. No, this wasn't a brother from Bergen County, because you know you're not going to let anybody spit on you. He spit in his eyes. And told him to look up and asked him, what did he see? He said, I see men as trees walking. Brothers and sisters, brothers, men's emphasis day, God needs men that can see good, that can see well. And here in this story, we get an understanding of why it is that some men don't see well. It is because they have not allowed the Lord to do whatever he wants to do to them. Now, I'm not now suggesting that in order for the Lord to get you to see that he has to spit on you or spit in your eyes. But here is a man who said after he had been touched by God that he still saw things in the same old way. We know this because the record says very clearly that the man was not born with congenital blindness. He wasn't born with blindness. He saw before because he said he knew what trees look like. And there's some men who just can't be led in a modern era in Christianity because they still see things in the same old way. They're narrow in their focus. They're narrow in how they approach life. They don't like it when brothers don't dress the way they think they ought to dress. They don't like it when the church is moving in a different direction that causes them discomfort. They don't like it when they cannot rule and super rule. But here, Jesus is helping us to understand that once you've been blessed, once you've been touched by God, you just can't see things in the same way. You can't say to the Lord that all you see is trees. You got to be able to see possibilities and horizons. And I really don't have time today. I would, you know, if I had time, I would lift up a few extracts from Michelle Alexander's book to show you men that we've got to be able to see better in this generation. And I want us to understand that there's a lot of things that are going on right outside Mount Olive that men claim they don't see. But maybe you need the Lord to spit in your eyes so you can see. But then there's something else even more profound in this, and that is that, is it that the Lord had lost power for a moment? Did he have a power shortage? Because Mark says that he had to touch him again. And this time he touched him and he had to force him to look up. Does anybody here know that sometimes God has to almost force you to do something so that you can receive the fullness of his blessing? He forced him to look up. And he said he saw everyone clearly. Isn't it a blessing to be able to see everyone clearly? Anybody here knows what it is to be able just to see your way every day clearly? Well, Jesus healed this man and told him, said, now don't go back to where you were. Too much unbelief there. Don't go back. Don't go back that way. Find a new way to go. All I've been trying to say for these last 20 minutes, 25 minutes is that God needs somebody who can see what the Lord is really all about. See what the kingdom of God is really all about. God needs somebody. God needs a few men, a few women, a few members of this church who say, he's touched me and I see better than I've ever seen before. I'm not talking about natural vision. I'm talking about spiritual vision, that you're able to see better than you ever have seen before. Now, I wondered in this story, which only appears in Mark, why would the Lord want us to have this story? But Jesus was looking at this man. And in this man's story, Jesus saw his own story. Because it wouldn't be long before he was going to be led out of town. It wouldn't be long before somebody was going to spit on him. It wouldn't be long before somebody would touch him and ask him, is that good enough for you? Oh, and I'm glad today. I said, I'm glad today that Jesus Christ was dragged out of town. He was spit on and he was touched by the power of his own Father as he died there for you and for me at Calvary. Is there anybody here that's glad that Jesus died for you? so that you'll be able to see better. But the real blessing in the story is not that he died, but rather that he did not stay dead, but rather that God raised him from the dead. Didn't the Lord do it? Didn't God raise him from the dead? And when Jesus was raised from the dead, brothers, he declared, I've got all power in my hand in heaven and in earth. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't God all right? Isn't God good? Hadn't the Lord blessed your life? Is there any man here that's not ashamed to get on his feet and tell somebody, since the Lord has touched me, I can see so much better. Since the Lord has laid his hands on me, I am so much better. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Let the church say amen. Let the church say thank you, Jesus. Anybody glad? Anybody glad that God is on your side? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah.